So many evidences in Priscilla's story of God's Spirit and miracle at work. One that comes to mind is, how many of you, other than people that have been employed at a hospital, have ever gotten a check back from a hospital? I mean, that's pretty miraculous, right? I mean, that's not what happens when you go to the hospital. Priscilla, thank you for sharing with us and giving us a picture, because sometimes when we proclaim the truth of God's story, sometimes we make it a little bit too theoretical, and we sometimes forget how real God is and how much God is working in lives right among us, and how God is changing people, and how God is bringing people out of some pretty remarkable, devastating things. And so I appreciate Priscilla being willing to share that with us on Pentecost Sunday. This is the day where we go back to that wonderful story in Acts 2, where the disciples, after they had seen Jesus risen, seen Jesus go back into heaven, the disciples, they go back to the upper room. They go back to the upper room, and what the text tells us in Acts 1:14, the text tells us they go back. It says they all joined together continually in prayer, along with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So Jesus has gone back up into heaven. He's ascended, and they go. They know that they are called to this mighty ministry, this mighty act of going to do and going to serve and going to proclaim what God has done in their lives. But they also know that they need to wait. They need to pause. They need to be prepared. So they go and they spend time and pray. And then the Holy Spirit makes an appearance in Acts chapter 2. You may have read this story. You may have heard it. It's a remarkable thing. It says in Acts 2 that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Not the first group of people in a church or disciples setting to deride what they see happening in the midst of the people. Peter stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice, and he addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. That would be profoundly difficult. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And hear what was spoken by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. They will proclaim the word of the Lord. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on earth below." This, friends, is not, as often reported, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's always been there. The Holy Spirit is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all one God. That's the Trinity. That's what Christians have talked about since the councils of the earliest times, Nicaea in 325, all those, they settled these things. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, three parts. So the Holy Spirit's been there the whole time. As a matter of fact, you read Genesis chapter 1, where it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters." The Spirit's always been there. So Pentecost is not the celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's the celebration of the Holy Spirit birthing the church. The Holy Spirit calls the church into being on this day. He calls it out of all different languages, out of all different peoples, and through the preaching of Peter, he calls people to believe in Jesus Christ, who is resurrected as the Son of God, and to be saved, to be willing to come to him and say, "Jesus, forgive me for my sin and lead my life, and let that be the way I follow for the rest of my days." This is not the coming of the Holy Spirit. It is the birthday of the church. So friends, happy birthday. Because guess what? This building's not the church. You are. As a matter of fact, we are one piece of the church. The church is all across the world. The church is in Brazil. The church is in Romania. We saw pictures of our Romanian mission team. And the church is in Puerto Rico. The church is all around the world doing God's work. The church is in China. The church is in Iraq. The church is in places where we cannot get to. And it is blossoming and doing God's work. This church was called into being by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the birthday of the church. It is the day where we celebrate our life. By the way, we can also celebrate something else, because 136 years ago on Friday, June 14th, this particular local church was called into being. Some of y'all were here. 136. Contrary to popular belief, Dennis Adams was not serving as the minister of music 136 years ago there, okay? That's not true. He is much younger. Walter Satchel, our associate pastor, pastoral care, he was not present then. 136 years of doing God's work on this peninsula. What a blessing. What a thing to celebrate. And guess what else? We have something else to celebrate. Last year, on this very day, we made commitments to each other as a church family on Pentecost Sunday. We committed to each other to say, we are going to do a new vision together, a 5-year vision where we said we will catch the wind and chart the course, and we will do work together related to 6 initiatives that God's Holy Spirit has given us. Because friends, vision does not come from a vision team. It does not come from a staff. It does not come from the deacons. It does not come from the senior pastor. Vision for the church of God comes through the Holy Spirit. And my job, my calling, is to proclaim that vision to you, to remind us of that vision, to, even when we get discouraged, point out where that vision is breaking forth in our midst, and when necessary, to remind us to get back on track with the vision rather than just doing good old-fashioned religious stuff. Make sense? That's what I get to do. But the vision for our church family, the vision for any church family, has got to come from the Holy Spirit, because that is who has birthed us. We are called to do God's mission in the world because the Spirit birthed us on Pentecost Sunday to do God's mission and to do God's work. We made commitments to one another last Pentecost Sunday. For 5 years, we're going to focus on 6 initiatives, and we're going to do very specific things in those initiatives. As a matter of fact, we signed stuff. I still have mine. We signed them that said our commitments that we're going to make to one another. By the way, we still have copies of these if you want to remember. I know most of you have it up on your fridge, okay? I understand. But we made commitments to each other. I will pray for the Holy Spirit to empower our church with boldness. I will pray for the vision team, the lead teams, ministerial staff, and deacons as they lead us. I will discover my spiritual gifts and talents and invest them in the 6 initiatives of our congregation. I will grow in love for the people in our church family, community, and the world. I will cultivate an attitude of hope for our congregation and community. We agreed on that together. To commit to follow this Holy Spirit vision that we've been given. Because in the Spirit, friends, that's where we find our life. It's the only place where we're called to life. You hear Priscilla's story. You hear how at the moment where she got down on her knees to pray, you heard the Spirit speak the truth to her life. The truth that says you are loved. Regardless of what you've done, you have the opportunity in Jesus Christ to find forgiveness. The story that says you are broken, you are worthless, you have nothing to live for, and that you've made too many mistakes to start over with Jesus Christ is a lie from hell itself. Because God loves you. And God is calling you right now on this day to find forgiveness for your sin and to find new life with Him. And if you are already His follower, He is calling you to go all in. To recommit to the life that He has given you. And to be a part of this magnificent movement. This mission that brings people to love. Brings people to hope. And brings people to new life. Even people who've been broken in two by how bad life can hurt. And guess what we get to do? We get to help make that happen. We get to help make that happen for every person in this city. Through partnership, we get to help make it happen for every person on this planet. Because our calling, friends, is to see broken lives made whole in Jesus Christ. That's what we do. Now, we've got six initiatives here. Six things we've done. You've seen pictures of them. But six initiatives of things that we've been doing to try and live more into this calling of seeing new life break forth into our church family and into individuals in this city. We've done all sorts of things. God has been so good to us. And one of the things we do on Pentecost Sunday as we celebrate the calling forth of the church by the Holy Spirit is we thank God for what He has done in our lives and in the lives of others. We thank God for what He has done in Priscilla. We thank God for what He has done in all of you because I look out and I know many of you and I know what you've been through. And I know how God has stepped into your life and changed you. And I know some of you that are hurting badly right now and are looking for answers and you're clinging to it and you need to know that God has not left you alone. We are here to tell that to one another. You are not forgotten. God has not given up on you. God is working even now to make you new. So what have we seen over the last year? Indulge me for a minute. While I do my biblically mandated task to point out to you where we have seen God work. In God-centered worship, this past year, we have started this beautiful little thing that's standing up here that Tony Parson and Kelly Music right here are manning for us. This beautiful little thing where we can Facebook Live our worship services. Where people can see us around the world. I know one young man who was out and was deployed. Deployed with the U.S. military. Who watched us during this past year. Watched us while he was in South Korea. And worshiped with us. I know folks who have been on vacation or have been sick and been able to stay with the family because they were able to watch and able to learn and able to grow. On Mother's Day, our Mother's Day service has been viewed 549 times and watched so that people could learn what we talked about today, how God was at work in a woman's world. That's something new that's happened and people around our city and around our world are learning the message of Jesus Christ because we've done something new here. Now, we're still learning. We're still getting the sound right. We're still learning how to do the technology right. We're getting there. But people are being changed. People are learning. Our God-centered worship team is working on getting us a new sound system. They are working diligently on that. They have gotten the bids. They've gotten things ready. And before, my hope, friends, is by the fall, we're going to be worshiping with a new sound system. I'll have a different microphone. It'll be fun, although I'll miss this guy. Last Pentecost Sunday, we made a promise to each other. We promised that we were going to help each other learn and discover our spiritual gifts. And you know what we did? We've had all kinds of wonderful sermon series and things that God has spoken to us through, but we had a series called Tag at the end of the year last year. And in that series, we learned about how all of us are gifted. Every one of us has a role to play in the church to do God's mission in the world. And we committed to discover our spiritual gifts together. And as of Thursday, we have 173 people in our church that have taken that spiritual gift survey. That doesn't count our Hispanic congregation. That does not count folks who said, you know what, I already am very clear what my spiritual gifts are, so I don't need to take that. And it doesn't count anybody who's under fifth grade, because we did not, you know, our children, they're still learning. They don't know enough yet to be able to figure that out about themselves. 173 people, that's 75% of our Sunday morning Sunday school attendance. That's not bad. It's not counting our Hispanic congregation. 500 people here on a given Sunday morning, counting all three worship services. That ain't bad, folks. And not only are we learning our gifts, but we're deploying them. Our intentional spiritual development team put together, along with the whole vision team, they put together this wonderful gifts fair on April 28th. And people walked around and learned all the things that we're doing as a church. You know what I noticed about that? I noticed a lot of people saying, I had no idea. I noticed a lot of people saying, sign me up. We signed up nearly 60 brand new folks into brand new teams so that they could begin serving. You know what else I did? I did a little counting. As of April 28th, there were 18 new action teams represented just in that gifts fair. 18 teams of people who are given a specific task, a specific calling, to go and do it as God leads them to go and do it. Action teams. Anybody can join an action team. You folks who aren't church members yet, you can join an action team. An action team is about your gifts being used to serve God in a particular way. We have people thinking about our compassionate mission and partnerships, that initiative. We have people who started went down and joined a group down in downtown Newport News every third Saturday. It's called Nehemiah's Nook. What they do every third Saturday is they go and they cook breakfast for homeless neighbors. It's an action team. They go and cook. That's extending the good news. That's sharing the Holy Spirit with other people. That's meeting people who are broken where they are and loving them with the love of Jesus. It's beautiful. We had a group in Puerto Rico building a roof when it wasn't raining. Sometimes when it was raining. Toward the end of May, we're still recovering from it. 9 folks building a roof. That group came out of... Now, we've had a Puerto Rico partnership, but our men's ministry that started, our men's breakfast, which they had a great breakfast yesterday. They have breakfast every second Saturday. And during that group, some of the men said, hey, we want to go on the Puerto Rico trip. And we had 9 men go, and we built a roof on a home. On a home where people hadn't had a roof since Hurricane Maria in September 2017. We built it with a Puerto Rican ministry and in partnership with a Puerto Rican church. And we got to be a part of God at work doing this in that place. As a matter of fact, while I was watching someone measure and doing things with the saw, because they only let me touch the saw a couple of times, no comments, it just the way it worked. There was a gentleman that came up from the neighborhood, and what he said to us in his broken English was, are you all Jesus followers, or do y'all work with some other group? Are we civil servants? Are we somebody else? And we said, no, we're Jesus followers. He said, yeah, I thought so. Me too. He kind of smiled and walked away. That's who we are. We're people who change lives because Jesus has changed our lives. We're here. Our vision is to be a part of changing lives. That's what we do. And we do it in these 6 ways that God has called us to do. Authentic community, our authentic community team has been so remarkable. We have new signage around our buildings, the blue signs, as we lovingly call them. We actually can, when guests show up, they can actually find the bathroom. That's pretty important. Sometimes it's way more important than others. They can find where the children's area is and where the youth area is. And if you don't think that's important, friends, it's the most important thing when a guest comes that has children. They've got to know where the children's area is, and it's got to be clean. They can find these things. We have a new team called the SEAT team. Now, I understand acronyms. They're problematic. The church can be even as bad at acronyms as the military, the shipyard, and the education group, okay? We're great with acronyms. We have the SEAT team. Special Events Action Team. what their job is. They're brand new. They weren't even in the 18 that I mentioned. They're brand new. What they do is they said they're going to use their spiritual gifts to be the most welcoming presence they can anytime something's happening on this property where guests are going to be involved. So they're not the ones who handle. We've got a great welcome and host team out there, welcome center team that handle worship services. But this team, they were the ones who made the church cookout happen this past Wednesday night, but they've also done something else remarkable. Just a couple short weeks ago, when we had over 1,000 people in this sanctuary for the Riverside School of Nursing graduation, our seat team was here with big smiles, big words of welcome, name tags, and able to direct people around and help them find their way around and give people the impression of people that care about them. We care enough to be about them when it's not even our graduation. When the Air Force Band was here, and there were another 1,000 people in this place, the Air Force Band was here in May, and they were playing, we had our seat team was here welcoming them, hosting them, helping them get around, being that welcoming presence of Christ to people. Folks, that's magical. When you can welcome somebody in the name of Jesus, when someone comes into our building, we should be the first ones to say, thank you, Jesus, that you brought them here. And that seat team is how we do that. Authentic Community has done so many powerful things. They've listened to God, extending good news invitations. We've started a Girl Scout troop. Matter of fact, that Girl Scout troop spent the night at the zoo last night. I'm like, should just spent the night here. No, never mind. Just kidding. You know, that kind of thing. We're a zoo sometimes. You know, that's how it works. They spent the night at the zoo last night as a part of Girl Scouts. The Girl Scout troop, some folks in our church meeting with unchurched folks to try and love people toward Jesus and try and help girls and moms and dads of girls, help them raise them into young women that are doing the calling that they've been given to do. What a powerful thing. And then this team is also talking about different groups that they're going to get to be a part of that are community groups where Bible studies are happening out in the community rather than in the church. Because I don't know if you know this, lots of folks that have been out there for a long time, they don't want to come in here. You know why? They think we're weird. Guess what? We are a little weird. Well, maybe me, but we're all a little weird. And if you've never been in church and church isn't your main way of doing things, you walk in here, it's scary. No matter how friendly we get, it gets a little scary. So some places for people to have spiritual conversation in places that are much less threatening to unchurched people. What awesome spiritual and small groups those will be. We have an administration team. Their job is to simply make sure that all the stuff that our vision team, all the stuff that these six initiatives are trying to do, to make sure that they have the resources to do what they need to do. Our administration team has gotten flowers planted to make us look more welcoming, to help Authentic Community. They have gotten roofs fixed so that we don't have the rain of the Spirit coming inside. They're working on getting our parking lots done. They've had some striping done. They've helped Authentic Community get the signage happening. Administration, here's the issue here. If churches don't have a vision from the Spirit and aren't living out a vision from the Spirit, you know what happens? Administration becomes our purpose. Taking care of the building becomes the purpose. Taking care of our stuff becomes the purpose rather than taking care of the building being the tool that helps us do ministry. So this administration group has figured that out and they understand that, and they are looking for ways to make sure that our property and the assets that God has given to us, that they are able to serve and be used the best possible to do God's work. And then our investing in next generations team, the team that's tasked with our children, our youth, and our young adults. This team has done so many things. So many people in our church are already doing things. We have, as we've mentioned before, we have teenagers. These slides that you see flipping back behind me, they're mainly handled by teenagers in our church. Middle schoolers and young high schoolers are the ones charged with the technology. They're mentored by Paul Morris, one of our team leads for that group. And then even in the 8:30 service, Harold Prussia started getting some of our teens to start videoing the service. Because you know why? The teenagers aren't the church of tomorrow, they're the church of now. All of us are in this together. So we're finding ways to let them serve. That's why they're leading in worship every on Sundays at 11 o'clock, that's why the youth praise team and the young adult praise teams are leading at least four times a year each. Because they're the church of today. They're not just the church of tomorrow. And that's cool to be a part of. But you know what else? We had something pretty amazing happen last Sunday. That was the direct result of this Investing in Next Generations team. We have a new associate pastor of young adults that's coming. Ethan and Caitlin are going to be here next week. Dennis Adams, our associate pastor of music, worship, young adults, candy, music lessons, good advice, young at heart, all those different things that he does. Associate pastor of running, so many other things. One of the first times I met Dennis Adams, just over 4 years ago, one of the first things he said we need is we need a young adults pastor. Because he'd been doing some of those things, and he'd done such a good job, particularly with our Bridge ministry. But he said, we need somebody who can focus on this more time and give more energy in that direction. And we have prayed for that, we have worked for that, and it's been something that he's been on his heart since even before he knew who I was. And now, starting next Sunday, we see the Spirit bring to fruition something that's been prayed for, prepared for, and planned for, and given for to see it happen. Thanks be to God that we are sitting in the midst of a church that is seeing the Spirit at work and seeing the Spirit do things. Now, do we have more to accomplish? Oh, yes, we do. We're year one in a 5-year vision that the Spirit has given us. And then, of course, there's vision beyond 5 years. There's so much more that comes. But friends, what we need to do today, I want to challenge you to do two things. One, two, it's real simple. I want to do the two things that the disciples did. First of all, I want us to pause. Remember what they did before the Holy Spirit ever comes? They finished the, Jesus ascended, they go and they sit in the upper room and they pray together. They pray. They pause. They don't go and do things. Sometimes churches get into trouble because they always think they have to be doing something active all the time. You know what? There are moments where we should pause, where we should pray, where we should give thanks to God for all He has done for us. The summer is a perfect time for pausing and preparing. It's a time where we look back and celebrate, where we celebrate that when we see barf. Don't take that the wrong way. Bring a real friend. It's our youth event, remember? Bring a real friend, which they do once a month. When we see that and we see 60 and 70 middle schoolers and high schoolers here, our first thought isn't, man, that's awesome. Our first thought is, thanks be to God. Because God's Holy Spirit is using us to build into those lives, into those young lives. When we see new folks that we didn't know come up and share their faith story, new folks in our church family, we say thanks be to God for all that you have done in our midst. When we come here, we begin to pray and we pause and we say, God, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do with us so that we can be obedient? And we give God the praise because God is at work in our midst. Thanks be to God. We have so much to thank Him for. Picture after picture. VDOT awards. Graduates. New life. New hope. New ministry. The first thing we do is we pause. And we give thanks to God. And then, friends, as we pause, we begin to do the second thing the disciples told us. We dream. We dream. You see, friends, the Holy Spirit is not the keeper of the status quo. He's not the keeper of doing things the way we've always done them. The Holy Spirit did not break forth and call the church into being to say, you disciples, call these people to keep doing things the way they are doing them. Call all of these folks together to say, let's stick our feet in the ground and do it the same way we're doing it. The Holy Spirit broke forth and opened up newness, new dreams. And what Peter said in that sermon was that by the power of the Spirit being poured out on us, God's people will begin to dream new dreams. They will begin to proclaim new dreams. By the way, both men and women will preach and proclaim the new dreams of God. It's right there. I didn't write this. There's a big hoodah going on now in the Southern Baptist Convention. Actually, it's been going on for decades about who's allowed to preach. Well, my Bible tells me right here that under God's direction, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, men and women will prophesy. And they will dream dreams. And they will speak God's truth. We are here to dream dreams. When the church gets in survival mode, when the church only begins to think about how it continues to keep the machine going, it is not the church. It is a gathering of religious individuals. Simply keeping the religious machine of the church going is not the church. We are called to be the people of God who dream dreams. But let's be careful. We're not dreaming our dreams. We're not dreaming what we want. We're not dreaming and saying, gosh, I wish my church would really do the things that I like best. We're not dreaming dreams that say, I really wish the church would do it the way I want it because I know the best way to do it. Well, no, friends. We're not dreaming our dreams. We're dreaming the Spirit's dream for our people, which means we don't sit there and tell everybody what we want. We listen to what the Spirit says. Which is why we spent, before this vision plan ever came to fruition, which is why we spent a year and a half as a congregation listening to God. Because folks, the vision for this church, the vision for the church period, is not our vision. It is God's vision. It is the Holy Spirit's vision. We do what the Spirit calls us to do. So friends, we need to dream. We need to pause and we need to dream. The dreams of the Holy Spirit are about the full development of real disciples of Jesus. People who really look like Jesus in the way they live, talk, and work. The dream of the Holy Spirit is that the kingdom of God comes and that this world, this city, this planet begins to look as God intended for it to look. Where brokenness, broken lives are mended. Where the captives are set free. Where the poor are made whole. Where the ones who are forgotten are remembered and included. Where new life is proclaimed over people who were left for dead. That's our dream. Not because I say it, but because the Spirit of God says it. That we are called to be people who set people free. Are you in? Are you in? Because that's where we're going. That's what God is about here. That's what God is about in the church on Pentecost. We must learn to love like Jesus loves. Allow me as we close to share one quote. One quote from the prophet Rachel Held Evans, who once wrote this: "The church is not a group of people who believe all the same things. The church is a group of people caught up in the same story, with Jesus at the center." We're the people of Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. O Lord Jesus,